Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
What is the measure of a truly great song?
Okay, this is it. This is it. This is the last one for today. Appreciate everybody hanging out here at Seven Locks Brewing. And this place is great, right?
All right.
All right, it's Suburbs Fest 2022 here in Rockville, Maryland tonight. And last night was in, where were we? Tacoma Park.
Tacoma Park.
And tomorrow night in Silver Spring. So you get like a whole, you know, taste of Maryland.
Yeah, I have a t-shirt with Maryland US Tour on the back.
That's
with
right.
Nick Luff and Steven.
That's right. All right, Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And before we get out of here, oh, this is so exciting. As I mentioned, you've heard the rest. Now, hear the best, Eric Didrikson. Hello, Eric.
Thank you so much. How's
Absolutely.
It going?
And Eric, who's here as well?
This is my wonderful beau, Lydia.
Hey there, how's it going?
All right. And Eric, you came down from New York.
I did.
Brooklyn?
Queens.
Queens.
Astoria, Queens.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Astoria, Queens. I should have known that. I have a good friend who lives in Astoria.
Good.
That's awesome.
I lived in Brooklyn briefly.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Okay. And you grew up in New Jersey.
I did.
Yes. What exit?
The last exit on the Parkway.
Okay.
Pretty good.
169, 172, something like that.
All right,
I don't.
There you go.
I've never had a driver's license, so I couldn't tell you.
You have never had a driver's license.
I've never had a driver's license.
You do not drive to this
34
day.
34 years old, and I can't drive.
What about you, Lydia?
I got my driver's license when I was 27 years old.
Wow.
So we're both late to it. Just some of us later than others.
And you're in Connecticut.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Let's move that mic just a little.
Yeah, I grew up about 20 minutes away from New Haven, so best pizza in the country.
Yeah, the New Haven pizza.
And okay. Eric has attended all three Suburbs Fest.
All three?
That's correct.
Damn right.
That's,
yeah.
I'm a man of wealth and taste.
There's like, so I was giving out the crowns last night for people who went to two this year, but really the three, like that's amazing.
Yeah, that's the triple
crown.
It's you
and Mulligan. We're trying to figure this out. It's like you and Mulligan, other than like sort of the featured performers.
Yep.
That might be it.
Did Jason make them all?
Oh, Tim. You've been to all three, right?
Tim's been to all three.
All three Suburbs Fest? Yeah, Tim. Mike? No, not Mike. That's it. It might be just a
Jason,
very select number.
Jason, were you at the first Suburbs Fest last year? No, okay, so
no.
He's only got two.
Yeah.
It's an exclusive club.
I
want to
say
club.
It's an exclusive club, but I don't know how to take it. Okay, so you're just crazy enough to do this, right? So, and Eric, by the way, and Lydia both played amazing last night.
Fantastic.
At the
Thank
live.
You so much.
Amazing.
Thank you very much.
Amazing. All right, 10 minutes on the clock. I've had a few beers here at Seven Locks. 10 minutes on the clock. What's the topic today?
Today's topic is, what is the measure of a truly great song?
Ah, okay.
Well, that just that?
All right. Yeah, just that, yeah. No, Bud Verge before had his sort of giveaway of records, and I picked up The Best of Dolly Parton, and it reminded me of listening to the 45 of Jolene at 33, and it sounds like a cut off of Nebraska.
Really?
It is like this like deeply swampy, like just unbelievable cut. Like you would not believe what it sounds like.
With flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin,
called your name, Jolene.
And it's sort of like, what distinguishes a fantastic song, like, isn't just the arrangement. Like, something like Such Great Heights by the Postal Service is equally good when it was covered by Iron and Wine as just an acoustic solo guitar. Whereas a song like, and I don't mean to disparage the song, because I think it's a beautiful song, but Fade Into You by Mazzy Star is just like an uncoverable song.
Yeah.
Because there's just something about the way it was produced and the sound of...
Hope Sandoval.
Hey, the way Hope Sandoval sings that song is just ineffable and uncapturable by anyone else. That the song just doesn't work unless she's the one singing.
Yeah, yeah.
And like all the different ways, and like, what is a song that you've heard in just utterly different iterations that makes it work? Like, All Along the Watchtower.
Oh, okay,
Hendrix's
that's a great example.
Bob Dylan's original are so utterly different, but they're so extraordinary
right.
in both versions.
Right, right. That's a big topic.
It is.
And I love it. Well, gosh, let me think. That's a lot to think about. You got anything, Jim? Anything
well,
coming to mind?
I'm trying to look it up because I can't remember who the artist was. I just heard this the other day. There was I can't remember who it was, but I heard a fantastic cover of an LCD Sound System song.
Ooh.
But it was done like sort of more like acoustic, you know what I mean? And I was like, wow, this, it kind of blew my mind, because you think of LCD Sound System as being this sort of like mass of musicians like fiddling on, you know, electronics and stuff like that, right? Producing this sort of sound, which I love, and it's amazing, but you think of the sound as much as anything with LCD Sound System, right? And then to hear somebody just like play the song, we're like, this is amazing. Like, this is like a really good song. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm struggling now to remember
Like, just thinking about LCD Sound System, as someone who's ostensibly a fan, something like Losing My Edge is a really difficult song to cover.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, All My Friends is gonna devastate you.
Oh.
Even if it's just somebody on an acoustic guitar.
That's right.
It was a cover of I Can Change by Ezra Furman.
Ooh. Ezra Furman. Okay, beautiful.
It was fantastic. To this question, like, I think a lot of music purists would say, like, well, if you can play the song on an acoustic guitar and it holds up, that's the mark of a great song, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know that I subscribe to that, because I think of a lot of songs that I do think the production, the arrangement, all that is what makes sort of the magic happen in the song, you know? And even if it doesn't necessarily translate to that, like, acoustic campfire version,
right.
doesn't matter, right?
Right.
I mean, there's sort of also like the interesting flip side to it of Be My Baby by Ronnie Spector is a great song no matter who does it, but God help you if you ever try to replace Ronnie Spector.
Right. And that Phil Spector production is so... And the Wrecking Crew playing on it, like everything about that makes that version so perfect that you can't make it better.
It's uncoverable, but it's also extremely coverable.
All right. Any more thoughts on what makes a great song?
Oh my goodness. I mean...
Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, putting me on the spot. I'm like trying to think of a song I know that's been covered by countless people, and it's always great no matter what. I feel like I always go back to this because I'm a big 80s alternative person, but I'm a huge fan of The Cure to the point where it's become a personality trait.
Yeah.
No, that this is a good one because I think people think of The Cure as a sound first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, these are really well written.
It's such
pop
a good point.
Songs,
yeah.
You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Yeah.
Like the one that it's popular with people who know their catalog a little more. Like most people know like Friday in Love, but they have a song In Between Days, the opening track off their 85 album Head on the Door. I have heard two covers of it. One by Ben Folds solo
that he plays
on piano. And then there was one that Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls plays on ukulele.
Hmm.
And it's on YouTube somewhere, but if you pull it up, it's always good. That song is just a nicely crafted pop song.
Beautiful.
And even when it's just piano or it's just ukulele, no matter who sings it, it's a great song. It's a wonderfully crafted pop song. It's fun.
I think Ducks Limited just put out a cover of it.
Did they really? Wow.
In Between Days, solid song.
Well, thinking of The Cure, I mean, Dinosaur Jr. covered Just Like Heaven, right? And it's just like, it's amazing.
And that's like the noisiest cover. Have you ever heard the Watson Twins cover that
no,
song?
No, I don't think
they
I have.
They slow it down. It's like this like super mellow. It's gorgeous.
Oh, I got to write that down, too. That's
real
beautiful.
Good.
You know, it's funny about the Dinosaur Jr. version is I think Robert Smith himself said that he liked it better than the original.
If we could play that loud, that's what we would do. Yeah, right. That's great.
That's cool. All right. Great topic. Okay. Do you guys want to answer questions real quick? Random questions?
Absolutely.
All right. You can each get one. All right. And then we're going to wrap this thing up. So pick a number. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right. Pick a number. One and 12.
In honor of the first song I ever played on the Hootenanny, 13.
Nice.
Did we pick that one? All right. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, okay. 13. Your question, Eric Didrikson. What is the best thing about Parks and Recreation? There is a right answer about this. So.
If the answer, I mean, the correct answer is probably Little Sebastian.
Yes!
but the correct answer is the relationships between all the characters. Just the general camaraderie, the genuine love between Ben and Leslie, the earnest friendship between Leslie and Ron, so on and so forth.
Oh, very good.
That was very eloquent.
That was
yeah.
very good. All right. Okay, pick a number, Lydia.
All right, 7.
All right, we had 7, and we also had 8, and we also had 9.
Oh, should I have to pick another one?
So
9?
I'm going
to
give you number 10.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. Who would win in a fight? Ready? The Killers or Survivor? Sort of an offense versus defense thing, right? Who would win, the Killers or Survivor?
Oh my God! Well, that's a really good question. The Killers or Survivor? I'm like struggling to remember what Survivor looks like.
Yeah.
But like the Killers, like for the most part, they're fronted by like a soft Mormon boy. no, but all the love in the world to Brandon Flowers.
Of
but,
course.
You know who? You know, but I mean, like Survivor was kind of like a. Yeah, 80s rock.
They had the Eye of the Tiger. You got to think about that.
They sang Eye of the Tiger. And like, oh man, that's really who would win in a fight. Now, if you want to go based on youth and everything, the guys from The Killers are significantly younger than the members of Survivor. So I'd say The Killers got the youth on their side.
I can go with that.
That's a good answer. Okay.
That's solid logic.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
And we've got 2 albums left. You guys each get one. Chad and Carol King.
All right, here we go. All right, thanks everybody for hanging out with us.
Thanks, Eric. Lydia.
Seven Locks Brewing. Thanks for Seven Locks Brewing for putting up with us.
Thank you, Seven
Thanks
Locks.
Thanks for all the people who bought me beer. And we'll see you tonight at the Frank Muffin and Half Smoke Show. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to y'all later. Woo!
myself. I threw her arms around my neck. Show me how you do it, and I'll promise you, I promise that I'll run away with you. I'll run away with you. Spinning on that dizzy air, just a phase.
I'm a huge fan of The Cure to the point where it's become a personality trait.